Stay tuned now for Dr. Steven Zelikoff and a program you will not want to miss. Bone Talk. That's Bone Talk with Dr. Steven Zelikoff on 1460 WVOX.
Hi.
Doctor, you are live.
Hi. My name is Dr. Steven Zelikoff. Welcome to Bone Talk. I decided to start a radio program to sort of help address sort of common questions regarding musculoskeletal and skeletal health issues. We're going to be talking to experts in the field of orthopedic surgery, nutrition, and rehabilitation to help our listeners improve their health and well-being. A lot of times people have questions about orthopedic issues, things having to do with their shoulders, their knees, joint problems, and they're concerned about it. They don't know who to talk to. They go ahead and they go on the Internet, which sometimes can be reliable, but sometimes not such a reliable source of information. So one of the things we really tried to address in our first topic is something that I think is really timely in this time of the pandemic, and that's really exercising. Exercising is the one thing that I think we can all do that gets us back to sort of being normal and back to our normal lifestyles. But the concerns about exercising in this time is something that's real, and I'm trying to see if I can get a guest to speak with me today about how we can go ahead and get people back to their normal exercise program. My first guest is Dr. Yasmin Dar. Dr. Dar is a board-certified University of Pennsylvania fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeon with expertise in surgical and non-surgical management of sports-related injuries. Dr. Dar has been in private practice at Specialty Orthopedics in Harrison for 10 years and also serves as the chief of sports medicine at Montefiore New Rochelle Hospital as an assistant professor of orthopedic surgery at New York Medical College. So, Dr. Dar, welcome. So thrilled to have you. Love you to talk a little bit about yourself and some of the things that got you into doing some of the things you're doing, particularly in terms of sports medicine at this time.
Great. Yes. Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me on. Exciting show, and I'm excited to be your first guest. So I've had a long history with exercise and sports. I've been athletic my whole life, and orthopedic surgery and sports medicine was an ideal choice for me. Even currently, I'm medical director and team physician for a number of colleges and high schools, and I help run one of the Burke Rehabilitation Sports Medicine Fellowships. I like to believe I'm still an athlete. I've tried half marathons, marathons. I've summited Kilimanjaro. So these exercise and health maintenance is a big part of my life and something I like to bring to my patients in the community.
That's amazing. I get tired just listening to the things that you have done already. Sort of focusing on COVID at this point, I mean, how has COVID affected and changed the way that people are exercising and staying healthy?
I mean, early on, we didn't know the extent of the issue and how bad everything would get. Rightfully, everyone was very cautious. And I think many people are involved in sports or organized, you know, workout routines. And unfortunately, many of these activities needed to be stopped during the pandemic. Even activities that we wouldn't consider group dependent, like going out for a run or you know, going cycling, I think people were nervous and they limited even going outside or exercising, thinking that exercise or increasing their heart rate or increasing their respiratory rate would somehow make them more prone to get sick or you know, walking by someone in the street. So I think it was a nervous time for a lot of people, and unfortunately, when in organized sports and group, you know, exercises, going to the gym are a big part of how you maintain your health, and you no longer have access to those options. I think many people just stopped exercising and stopped working out.
So, should we still exercise during the COVID-19 pandemic?
Absolutely. I think health maintenance is important, especially during these times, for many reasons. I mean, physical health has been shown to improve immunity. I also think it has significant mental health benefits. I mean, anyone who's a runner like me knows that if you can't go for a run, sometimes it makes you a little nutty not being able to go out for a run, and you need it to kind of focus and help clear your head at the end of the day. So I think regular exercise has been shown to reduce your risk of health conditions, heart disease. It controls your weight. It improves sleep, reduces stress and anxiety. So I think now more than ever, I think it's an important thing to maintain.
I think that's such an important point, is that I think that there's been so much data at this point showing that exercise, and whether you do it at home, whether you do it outside in a controlled setting, has been so helpful in terms of helping people's well-being, and just their general, both their physical sense of well-being, but actually their mental sense of well-being. Absolutely. Now, if you are quarantined, how long should you exercise and self-quarantine?
So quarantine, you know, if you're quarantined because you might have had contact with someone, or, you know, maybe a family member tested positive, and you're one of these people that's quarantined without any symptoms, or and it's early, I think it's safe to exercise. And generally, you know, we tell people exercise 30, 45 minutes of aerobic exercise, maybe 3 to 4 times a week. One of the things about quarantine is you're basically, you know, seeing if you're going to get symptoms. So I think it's important to kind of monitor how you feel, especially for someone who normally exercises and works out. You know how you feel in your average workout. So maybe start, you know, at 75% of your normal. So you can see how you're progressing over that quarantine period to make sure that you're not going to start getting symptoms for whatever reason. If you do have any symptoms, even mild, sore throat, cough, you know, a little, you know, malaise, fatigue, probably best not to exercise. Let your body rest, drink lots of fluids, allow your body to recover prior to resuming any more rigorous physical activity. And if you were, you know, more symptomatic, very sick, then probably see your doctor before you resume any physical activity. You know, there was a lot of early research regarding the heart and lung problems that were associated with COVID-19, and it's a little unclear the extent to which they happen and how they affect younger people versus older people. So always best to check with your physician if you were a very symptomatic patient person before returning to any activities.
So if you've tested positive, what should you do at that point in terms of exercise?
I think if you're positive and you don't have symptoms, I think exercise. And like I said, maybe start a little less intense, you know, at 70-75%, and just monitor yourself. I think if you don't have symptoms, there's a lot of asymptomatic carriers, you know, especially when this was at the height in New York.
Right.
But if you have symptoms, I think that's a completely different story. That I would be a bit more cautious with.
So, first, I'd like to again reintroduce you. This is Dr. Yasmin Dar from Specialty Orthopedics in Harrison, who's also head of the sports medicine program over at Montefiore New Rochelle. So, how do you think the gym and sports restrictions have affected people so far?
You know, gyms are starting to open up now, but I think a lot of people depend on gyms and sports for their workout regimen. You know, plus many people enjoy the social aspects of going to the gym. You take a group class, you're participating in, you know, tennis with your friends, or, you know, your kids playing soccer and you see other parents. I think it was difficult, you know, mentally for some to try and stick to a routine. I mean, people's routine on many levels was significantly affected. And the gym and workout routine is no different. Many people get their motivation from having other people around them, having that community feel to working out and participating in sports. You know, we're social beings. Most of our interactions with other people come from work, you know, our family and friends, and probably some type of athletic endeavor, you know, whether it's sports or going for a walk with your neighbors or going to the gym. So I think that restriction really affected people, their physical health and their mental health somewhat, and not to mention from a physical health standpoint, many people don't have space or the equipment or the capability to necessarily, or they don't think they do to work out at home. So I think it really limited what people thought they could do, and also their motivation to do things, because they didn't have those other people in that community feel.
I think that's a very, very good point. And I think that there's some video things that maybe you can speak about, how people can sort of reach out and find programs online that they can sort of feel like they're included in some type of a group class.
Absolutely. I mean, that was one of the things that was really great about the community. I think, you know, New Yorkers are tough, and when everything started to become, became more aware how serious the issue was, a lot of these kind of online group videos popped up, and people were, you know, tuning into these, you know, Zoom and Twitter, and having all these things going on where they would they would be with other people just, you know, across the internet. And I think it really helped people mentally, and I think it helped people kind of get motivated again to get back to some of their routine, even if it wasn't what they were normally doing. I mean, I think a lot of people didn't feel very normal during this period, but it was something. And I think that it was a great sense of community, and I think that was a really good thing that happened overall.
Now, as people had taken some time off at the beginning of the pandemic, maybe they're going back to the gym for the first time. Any thoughts in terms of what they should be doing, first of all, in terms of getting back to physical activity they may have taken off for a month or two, both in terms of their strategies, in terms of like early stretching, gradually increasing their activities, and also things like the use of masks, and what should they be doing in terms of when they are going to the gym as far as precautions go?
So I think going to the gym, now things have started to open up. I think gyms are getting to about 30% capacity, and everyone's moving a bit slowly, and I think that's the right thing to do. You can't just open the floodgates and let everybody out, especially in close quarters. So if you are going to the gym, I think your mask is important. You know, if you're going outside, your mask is important. So definitely wear a mask at the gym. If you're using machines and, you know, you're doing a circuit training where you're on different machines, something like that, you know, wipe down your machines, be conscientious of the other people that are there, try and maintain a safe distance from others, wash your hands. If there's hand sanitizer available, sanitize your hands between using the machines if possible. And, you know, it's okay to sweat. I mean, that's kind of what a lot of people want to do when they work out. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, sweat. It's on a machine. You know, wipe it down. A lot of the gyms have those sanitizing wipes. You can wipe down the machines or your treadmill or whatever. But don't wipe your face with your hands. Right? You know, we don't want to touch our eyes and rub our face and our mouth with our hands. And use a towel, but make sure it's not the same towel you use to wipe down the machines. Right. You don't want that either.
And any thoughts, maybe bring your own mat or something like that. That might be helpful just to sort of keep it clean.
I mean, I think people are uncomfortable. And, you know, bring your own mat. Listen, when you start easing into these things, I think there's a certain amount of comfort level. And you know, the gyms are wiping things down. Everyone's on high alert, which is they should be. But I think if you want to bring your own mat, and that's what makes you feel comfortable getting back into the gym, bring your own mat. Wipe it down, you know, before you leave or you know, before you get home, and stick it in the corner somewhere at home and take it with you to the gym. There's no issue doing that.
And what about your mask? What should you do with that? Do you just throw them away? Do you wash them? I mean, how often do you wash them? Is that something that we should be aware of? I mean, in terms of masks, do you use a cloth mask? Should you use a surgical mask or an N95? There's a lot of stuff out there on masks. And everybody's selling masks, by the way.
Right.
Logos and things on them. So
everybody's,
what should people do about masks? Yeah.
You know, we see if you look at a lot of the research, most of the masks do a really good job. Even your regular cloth mask, your bandana, they all work pretty well. I think the N95 is probably overkill for your average everyday person. I think those are really for medical professionals who are in close contact, especially, you know, people who are treating COVID-19 positive patients, and, you know, there's supply issues. So those really should be kept to available for that population of people. As far as, like, the regular surgical masks, those are usually disposable. I mean, you want to use them, especially if you're sweating, throw them out. If you're walking around and just kind of going to the grocery store, probably you can use it a few times. The cloth masks are actually probably your easiest option, especially if we're working out. They're a little more breathable. And I tell people, treat them like you treat your gym clothes. You know, you go to the gym in your shorts and your T-shirt. You come home, you throw that stuff in the washing machine. Your mask, many of them are washable, and throw them in the washing machine and let them air dry, and you can reuse them. And I think they're great. The only thing you don't want to do is you don't want to have the mask with the valve. Early on, we didn't really realize the valve. You know, you're breathing the air. The air that you're breathing is going out through the valve. So many places now have restricted the valve masks, or cover it, you know, with a piece of tape or you know, something to just keep everything contained.
I also think that there's been some data looking at those plastic shields, the face coverings that people wear, and that they protect a little bit, but they really don't protect a ton. And also, as you sneeze or if you breathe out, a lot of times the air particles sort of get out from around the underneath of the mask and on top of those plastic visors that people tend to wear.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think a mask is your base. I mean, definitely you should wear a mask. Do you need to wear a face shield if you're going to work out or to the gym? Probably not. I mean, some people might feel more comfortable wearing goggles, or if you wear glasses and don't wear your contacts, just wear your glasses, especially since you're likely going to be distant from other people.
Right.
I don't think you're going to be in proximity where you're going to need the full face shield, and I think your mask is probably sufficient.
And, again, we're talking to Dr. Yasmin Dar, head of sports medicine at Montefiore New Rochelle, and a partner at Specialty Orthopedics in Harrison, New York. So we've been talking a little bit about indoor activities with COVID-19 and the gym and how you can try to stay safe. What about outdoor activities and running and things like that? And can you talk a little bit about what your thoughts are about safe distancing and social distancing if you're running? And do you need to wear a mask outside? And what are your suggestions with that?
I think, runners have a difficult time with the mask because it's hard to breathe at some level of running. So I think, if you can distance yourself in a park or on a track and you distance yourself out, it's probably safe to have your mask around your chin. And then if you're coming within a certain distance, 6 feet is the distance we've all heard and it seems to be the appropriate amount of distance, then you pull your mask up. And you cover, ensuring that you cover your nose and your mouth. Just covering your mouth isn't going to do it. You need to cover your nose also. And I think that's fine. But there is a lot of research, especially like, say, cyclists, runners, if you're moving at a certain speed, the particles are moving by you very quickly. So the chance that you're going to, run into someone's cough and those particles are going to, enter you from 6 feet away, you're both probably moving quickly where the particles have kind of dispersed. But I always think it's best to err on the side of being somewhat cautious. So if you can keep your distance, that is the best. And definitely I would still bring a mask and pull it up over your nose and your mouth when you're coming into closer contact with people. Those are the more, cycling, running. I mean, there's a lot of activities you can do where you just need a space.
Right.
So if you don't want to go to the gym because you don't want to be inside of a building and you want to go work out outside, you can do squats, lunges, planks, a small circuit. Download something on your phone or look in a YouTube video and do a small circuit somewhere in a park, in the grass, where you have a little space. And I think the community's been very good about keeping their distance, especially, the weather's nice. People want to go outside. So you can do those activities outside. And if there's no one around you, you don't need to have your mask up over your face. You can wear it down unless you come into closer contact with someone.
Great. Do you have any specific recommendations for exercise when we're dealing with younger people versus older adults in terms of things that they can do to stay healthy?
So I always say that I'm not ageist. As a sports medicine doctor, we treat a lot of different ages, different activity levels. And I have some patients who are twice my age that would run circles around me. So I think exercise really depends on your individual activity level. So the only group of patients where I would say you should be a little more cognizant of kind of a weight training or strength training type of exercise are usually older women postmenopausal, just because they have a somewhat higher risk of osteoporosis or age-related bone weakening, and those weight-bearing or strengthening exercises do help strengthen the bone, and it protects them from, say, a trip and fall where they break, their wrist or their hip or something. Otherwise, core and lower back programs are great for everybody. I mean, we can all use some work on our core. We can all use some work on our posture, as well as stretching. As you age, everything stiffens up. I mean, everything, joints get a little tighter. So I always say if you have 5 minutes to do something in a day, take 5 minutes and stretch, because it'll help decrease some of the load across your joints and also kind of get rid of that kind of achy stiffness. Younger people, they tend to perform kind of higher intensity workouts, CrossFit, things like that became very popular, and they put a bit more stress on your cardiovascular system. Not to say an older person couldn't do that, but possibly, you know, a younger person, their cardiovascular, their heart system might be a little more amenable to that type of exercise. So it is best to check with your physician if there are certain exercises or, say, intensity of exercise right. that you should avoid given any medical conditions or medications you're on. But I always say, you know, continue exercising because, you know, your body likes motion. Your body likes the flexibility. It does help longevity in the grand scheme.
Yeah, if it's physical, it's therapy. I think that makes a huge difference. Is there any place that people can go on your website or something to find out some suggestions in terms of some exercises, some stretching that they can do?
Absolutely. So if you go to our practice website, www.specialtyorthony.com, there are links to the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgery as well as the American Academy of Orthopedic Sports Medicine. Both have numbers of different topics and information, but also different stretching programs for your core, your lower back, your legs, as well as some strengthening exercises and health maintenance exercise programs.
So now, as far as people sitting and watching their computer screens on Zoom for hours at a time, have you seen an increase in specific injuries during this time?
So, right, a lot of people work from home, you know, and not everyone has an ideal home office setup. Most people's offices are probably their couch, their bed, or their dining table. So I think what I have seen an uptick in is lower back issues or shoulder and neck issues, probably from sitting in a less than ideal setup. And also if mixed with some inactivity, your core and your lower back support muscles are probably the first muscles that are going to get weak, and it makes you a little more prone to an injury or pain from even like sleeping in an awkward position or crouching down to pick up something. I think it's important, you know, you might not have access to a full desk, but make sure you do have a good chair, a good support for your lower back. I sometimes tell my patients, buy one of those little lumbar supports for $10 and, you know, stick it in the back, the small of your back and behind a chair. Probably not ideal to be sitting on a big comfy couch all day. So probably a chair or your dining table is the easiest just to take some stress off your neck and your lower back.
Now, if you do get injured or you need surgery, how safe is it now to go to a medical office or a hospital?
It's safe. I mean, medical offices and hospitals have done an amazing job, you know, optimizing safety and you know, caring for patients. I know my office, we've limited appointment booking, to decrease the number of patients in the office at a certain time. Rigorous cleaning patient rooms in high traffic area, so we clean all the rooms between patients. Everyone gets screened prior to their appointment. Everyone gets rescreened when they come in. They get a temperature check. The health of our patients in our community is and has always been our top priority. So this is no different. And if you need surgery, which I know a lot of people are nervous about, and a lot of people didn't get treated during the height of the pandemic because they were nervous to come to a doctor's office. So there are a lot of injuries that happened that they never saw a physician for months. So some of them might be surgical. It's safe to undergo a surgery. I mean, the hospital system, they overall have implemented pretty strict guidelines. Even our hospital system, all patients are tested for COVID-19 prior to having surgery. Everyone's instructed to socially distance for the weeks leading up to surgery, and they have implemented practice guidelines for the staff, the physicians, the nurses to minimize risk and ensure that patients have the safest and finest care.
That's great. Listen, Dr. Dar, thank you so much. So in summary, do you have any final recommendations on keeping patients safe and healthy in this time of the pandemic?
I think if you're going to the gym, wear a mask, wash your hands, sanitize the machines. I think if you're outside, keep your distance from others and wear a mask. But ultimately, I think continue to exercise. It's only going to be good for your physical health and your mental health, and it gives you some sense of normalcy and returns us back to the way things were.
That's amazing. Listen, Dr. Yasmin Dar, head of sports medicine over at Montefiore New Rochelle, is a partner over at Specialty Orthopedics in Harrison. Thank you so much for your time and for joining us on this program. I think that, again, the most important thing is that people keep moving. I think that, you know, I think it's scary to get out there, but I think it's scarier not to. And I think that, you know, staying healthy and exercising, it makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.